following message is from New Life Gillette series, God Outside the Box. This week, Pastor Paul presents part one of this series.
I'm Paul. I'm one of the pastors here. It is good to be with all of you here in front of me. For those of you online, the guys over at the prison, it is great to have this opportunity to share with you as we're getting closer to Easter. I'm so excited. It's one of my favorite weeks, if not the favorite week of the year. And it's not just because I'm a pastor. I just love that week. And so for the next 2 weeks, as we lead up to Easter week, we're going to be looking at this understanding of God outside the box. And you might be wondering, what's that all about? And so have you ever heard the phrase thinking outside the box? Many of us have heard that, and we have that general understanding of what that means. And let's just face it, thinking outside the box can be a little bit scary. It can push us a little bit. You know, inside the box, we know that. We're comfortable there. It's kind of a little bit like what Pastor Mike has been talking with us about over the last several weeks. But yet getting outside that box, there's the potential, at least, that things could be exciting. Things could be better even there. For instance, I think back to when I was a kid, raising in my family. My dad was one of those who, he has a box when it comes to what he eats. Anyone else out there? You know, my dad was what we would call a meat and potato guy. Put some meat with the potato and he was as happy as could be. But if he got outside that box a little bit, he'd get a little concerned. And so my mom was very good with my dad, keeping him in that box. And then something changed for my dad. I got married. Because you see, the difference with that is my wife is not an inside-the-box type cook. My wife likes trying new and different things. And so the first couple times that my dad and mom came over to visit us at our house, dad started to realize pretty quickly that if he wanted to eat, he needed to be willing to be outside the box or else he needed to find the local McDonald's. Because Karen just made new and different things. And so it was so much fun watching my dad's eyes at the table, just looking to see what was going to be set in front of him. But it was so cool to watch my dad transform as he started to realize that these things that my wife was cooking, which was way outside his box, he started to realize they're actually good. And it was so cool to see how he started to realize life outside the box can actually be good. And my mom loved it because, of course, she could start doing some new and different things as well. You know, well, we do this thing with God too, don't we? You know, we have God in a lot of different ways in a box. You know, this is God to us for a lot of us. We put God in here because this is how big God is. This is how much God knows. This is how much God loves people. This is his compassion. This is the size we think it is. And to get God out of the box would basically transform everything we think about God and possibly cause us to live in a much different way if we could see God as he is instead of how we a lot of times have him. And God knows that we have him many different ways inside this box, and he longs for us to get him out of the box because he believes that there's something better for us. For instance, he said to the prophet Isaiah in chapter 55, he says it this way, "My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord, and my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts." You know, what we believe about God causes us to live as we do. And if we put God in a box, it'll have us living as if we have God in a box. Well, today I want us to start us on this journey of seeing how we can possibly start to see some of these attributes of God in a much different way. Maybe getting him outside the box, or at least getting our box to be a little bit bigger. And if we do that, we will potentially start to live accordingly. And so today we're going to look at three of God's attributes, three things that tells us a little bit about God. And we're going to look at those and help them to hopefully get us seeing God a little bit different. And what are they? They are the omnis, the three omnis. And they look like this: omniscience, omnipresence, and omnipotence. And for some of you, you're saying, what in the world is Pastor Paul saying with those big churchy words? And I get it. You know, many years ago before I became a pastor, I would have heard these words and thought, what in the world is that talking about? So let me break it down a little bit for us. The first part of those words, the word omni, simply means all. So if you put the understanding of all with the other parts of the word, then it switches over to this. Omniscience means all-knowing. Omnipresence means all-present or present everywhere. And omnipotence means all-powerful. So today we're going to look at those three words and get a better understanding of how they help us to better understand God. So hopefully we can get God outside the box a little bit in those areas so we can begin to live a little bit differently. So today, the first one we're going to look at is that first one, which was omniscient. Now, we live in a world, we live in a society right now, let's face it, that we have a lot of information at our fingertips, don't we? You know, when we're in a conversation, instantly we start pulling out our phones. But 25 years ago, which wasn't that long ago, I know for some of you think, well, that's a long time ago. It wasn't that long ago. If we were in a conversation and we tried to figure something out and we needed to know something, we'd have to go down to the local library and go to the encyclopedia section. For you kids, an encyclopedia is a book. It's not Wikipedia. There's these things called Britannica, and we're, yeah. So anyways, you go to the library, you pull out an encyclopedia, and you start learning information about what we're trying to figure out. But today, when we're in one of these same conversations, if we're trying to figure something out, there's a certain phrase that we've learned very heavily. You know what that phrase is? We Google it. Yeah. We simply get that phone out or the computer out, and we Google it, and we try to figure out what we're trying to know. Or maybe if we're trying to learn something, you know, in politics or whatever, maybe you go to CNN or Fox News, depending on which one you'd like to go to. If you want to find out some sports information, you go to ESPN.com. You have these places that we go to for the information. But what about if it's something in life? You know, what if it's something like learning how do we do our finances better? Or wait, maybe how do you become a better parent? Or how do we do this thing called marriage? Or maybe it's one of these issues that we talk about in society, like abortion or immigration. You know, where do we go to learn to seek out information that we better understand? You know, the easy thing is to say, Google it, because in Google we trust. But what if, have you ever done this before and asked the question, I wonder what God thinks about this topic? Is there any information that God might have on this thing that we are considering? You know, I think back to the Apostle Paul, one of the most brilliant minds that have ever walked the earth. And I wonder, you know, as Paul was trying to figure things out, I wonder where he went on a regular basis as he was trying to figure out what to think about in life. And we get a good picture about this because in Romans chapter 11, Paul is just coming out of a major discussion on salvation and looking at the people of God and trying to figure out who gets saved and who doesn't get saved. And all of a sudden, as he's considering all of this knowledge of God, he takes a break and he steps back and he says this in chapter 11. He says, oh, how great are God's riches and wisdom and knowledge. How impossible it is for us to understand his decisions and his ways. Can you start to see how Paul is thinking God is way outside the box, that there's no box could ever contain God when it comes to his knowledge? He continues on. For who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who knows enough to give him advice? And who has given him so much that he needs to pay it back? For everything comes from him and exists by his power and is intended for his glory. All glory to him forever and ever. Amen. Can you begin to see how Paul thinks? What he thinks about the wisdom and the knowledge of God? Paul's box is nowhere near this size. If anything, Paul has a box. Well, he doesn't even have a box. Because he sees God so big in the knowledge and the wisdom of God that he has Paul so far outside of that box. And how does that then cause Paul to live? You know, if Paul, I don't think he Googled it too often. No, granted, he didn't have it back then. But even if he was here today, do you think Paul would Google it? Or maybe Paul would do something different. Maybe Paul would do this. He would God it. That he would simply say, I wonder what God has to say about this. I wonder what God has to bring to us to help us better understand how to live today. You know, how often do you think Paul would go to God in prayer and say, God, this is my laundry list for you. I need you to do this and this and this because I know better than you do, God. No, but instead, maybe Paul would run to Psalm 147 and use this as part of it as saying, wow, God, he counts the stars and calls them by name. How great is our Lord? His power is absolute. His understanding is beyond comprehension. Paul wouldn't go to God and say, God, this is what you need to do to me. But instead, he would say, God, what is your will for me? And how might I live my life to bring honor and glory to God? You know, the more we stare at God and seek God's heart and realize how big and amazing and awesome God's knowledge is, the more we get him out of the box, it changes how we live our lives. You know, the great Sir Isaac Newton, the great scientist that discovered a lot of powerful and amazing things. And when he got older, there was someone who came up to him just wondering about his great knowledge that he received. And he made the statement to Sir Isaac Newton. He said, "Dr. Newton, you must have a tremendous store of knowledge." And what did Sir Isaac Newton say? He said this, "I remind myself of a little boy walking along the seashore, picking up shells. The boy has a handful of shells in his little hand, but all around him is the vast seashore, stretching in all directions as far as the eye can see. All that I know is simply a handful of seashells, but the vast universe of God is filled with knowledge that I do not possess." You see, Newton was a smart dude. As a scientist, he knew more stuff than any of us probably knew in science, but bigger than that, he had a faith that guided what he knew about the world. And that faith led him to understand that to get God out of the box and to see the vastness of God's knowledge causes us to live in a certain way. The more we realize how big God is causes us to long for more and more of God's will for our lives. What could that look like? Well, a few weeks ago, my daughter Valerie, I picked her up from dance class and we were on our way home. And I could see in her face, you know how kids sometimes get that face that you just tell something's wrong? Well, something was wrong, and so I didn't know what happened to Nancy. I said, "Valerie, what's going on? Like, what's wrong?" And she said, "Well, Dad, today at dance, we did something new. They had us meditate." You know, they were simply, you know, after the long day of school, they just wanted the girls to be able to focus a little bit so they could get through their dance. And so I said, "Well, Valerie, that's awesome. I love to meditate." And her head turned and looked at me, "Really?" Like, "Yes, I meditate almost daily." She said, "What do you mean, Dad?" I said, "Well, Valerie, meditating is simply spending time focusing or thinking deeply on something. And regularly, almost every day, I just get out one of those passages of scripture about God or maybe one of the songs that we sing on a Sunday morning, and I just ponder it. And I think deeply about what God is doing in my life and what this great thing that I can be thinking about with God." And she got this big smile on her face. "Well, Dad, can I do that at dance?" I'm like, "Well, sure you can." You know, what if you look at one of those psalms in the book of Psalms where the writer is saying that we should be dancing before the Lord, and what can that look like? Or maybe you're going to take one of the songs like you love, like Reckless Love, and just ponder how much God loves you, and then you stand up and dance. And she got so excited. You're going to have a lot of fun with Valerie now when you meditate, ladies. Yeah, because she just loves thinking about God. And so now she's going to do that as she's dancing. So what about for you, for this week that's in front of you? I got a challenge for you with your life work. This is what I want you to do. Don't Google it. God it. I want you to spend some time thinking deeply or meditating about God this week. Don't just do a simple quick prayer and move on. Spend some time really thinking about God. And if you want somewhere to look, look in Psalms 145 to 150. It's a great place because the writers of those Psalms have already done a lot of thinking deeply about God. And so we'll see what they had to say and spend some time just realizing the vast knowledge of God. And that might cause you to live a little bit differently as you get God and his knowledge out of the box. All right, that's omniscience. What about the next one? Omnipresence. The next omni is the one where we think about God being everywhere. Now, for some of us, we might think of another person in the course of our season of the year that we think about in this way. I did when I was a kid. There's a certain song that goes like this. "He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows if you've been bad or good, so..." Yeah, you know that song too. And we think about that, you know, back when I was a kid, I remember I heard that song and I thought, wait a second, that guy in the red suit, he can watch me here and he also can watch those people over in England and he can watch the people in California. How does that work? And well, when you get closer to Christmas, you can ponder that a little bit. But what about for us here today as we're pondering this understanding that God is all present, that he is everywhere, no matter where I go, God is there. You know, that's one that we might scratch our heads on a little bit and wonder, can that really be the case? And what does that look like if it is the case in my life? One of the great stories that helps us to see this and actually helps us to see all three of these attributes of God is a story in John chapter 4, where we find Jesus having this moment. It says, as Jesus traveled through Galilee, he came to Cana where he had turned the water into wine. And there was a government official in nearby Capernaum whose son was very sick. And when he heard that Jesus had come from Judea to Galilee, he went and begged Jesus to come to Capernaum to heal his son who was about to die. Now, there's nothing surprising there, right? You know, this guy is getting to know about Jesus. He's heard that maybe he can heal some people. He heard about some of these other amazing things that he can do. His son is sick. So he travels. It's about 2 days to get from where he was in Capernaum to where Jesus was to say, Jesus, come with me. Come where I am. So, but at the same time, he might inconvenience Jesus to take, because Jesus was not going that way. He was going another way. So to inconvenience Jesus, take him where he was. Well, let's see what Jesus says here. It goes on. The official pleaded, Lord, please come now before my little boy dies. Then Jesus told him, go back home. Your son will live. And the man believed what Jesus said and started home. Really? No, wait a second, Jesus. You're not going to go with him to go there and you'll place your hands on this little boy and say some special word and let it happen that he gets better, but instead you're just going to say this word? Imagine how that guy felt walking away from that moment. I mean, how does Jesus, does he know which boy it is? Does he really know where the community is? Does he know what's wrong with the boy? Can anyone say omniscient? That God just knows? But then Jesus, he makes a statement, just go, he's going to be better. Without laying your hands, without being there, can you really be there and hear? Well, Jesus was fully human, so he was stuck where he was. But the presence of the Father, the Holy Spirit of God, can be more than one place at a time. Well, let's see what happens. It says, while the man was on his way, some of his servants met him with the news that his son was alive and well. He asked them when the boy had begun to get better, and they replied, yesterday afternoon at 1 o'clock, his fever suddenly disappeared. Then the father realized that was the very time, the moment that Jesus had told him, your son will live. The all-powerfulness of God, the all-presence of God, that Jesus, although he was here, the Spirit, the presence of God is everywhere. That Jesus knew where that boy was, and he had the ability by the power of the Spirit of God to be in that place to bring healing to that boy in that moment. As we think and ponder this, it staggers our brains. We struggle with this understanding because we're stuck in one place at one time. But does God really have that ability? Well, King David, one day, he was meditating. He was doing some of that meditating work, trying to ponder this very concept about God. Is God really anywhere and everywhere at all times? And David, he looks into Psalm 139. God wrote this on his heart. He says, I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I go down to the grave, you are there. If I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell by the farthest oceans, even there, your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. David knew and he believed. David's understanding of God in this area was way outside the box. He fully understood that no matter where he went, God was already going to be there because God was there. God was everywhere at all times. Now, we struggle with this. We don't always see that. You know, we like to say, God, you're in a box. And I like to keep you in certain places at certain times. You know, sometimes we leave him on the kitchen table and we just leave and we leave God there. And sometimes we consider God in a box in certain places at certain times. And I know this because I've heard some of you make statements like, maybe you're in the church and your kids are telling these little white lies and you'll make the statement, you can't tell lies here. We're at church. Or maybe I hear a conversation, Pastor Mike is standing there and someone else is speaking something to them and you might say, you can't gossip. Pastor Mike is standing right here. And so the question I have for you, where is it okay to lie? Where is it okay to gossip? Where is it okay to do those things that you think only here in church or next to a pastor, it's not okay to do, right? Does that mean that God is only in your box and your box is located in churches or next to Pastor Mike? What happens if we get God outside the box instead? How does that change how we live? You know, so oftentimes we squirm a little bit when we have this understanding. We begin to think that God outside the box is with us no matter where we go. Because some of you are now thinking, wait a second, you're telling me that God was kind of with me when I was at Boot Hill last night and doing some partying and line dancing and maybe pounding a few more than what I should have? Yeah. Wait, God was with me when I was looking at those images on my phone? Yeah. Wait, God was there with me when my acidic mouth was using those horrible words on my husband that I certainly wouldn't use if I was here at church. Yeah, he was there too. You see, a lot of times we like to put God in a box and leave him in certain places because we know in other places we don't want God to be seeing where we're seeing. But the good news is God is not just in those places when we're not acting like God would want us to act. He's in the good places too. You know, when we're serving in Kid Zone, God is there and loving us and caring for us. When we are out in the at work and someone is having a hard day and we pull alongside of them and we pray with them, God is there supporting us and caring for us. When we are sitting around our table and having a great conversation with our family, God is there. You know, David understood this, and he had God so far out the box because he understood that no matter whether he was having a good moment or a bad moment, that God was with him. You see, we might look at this truth and we might struggle, but David says, no way. Because no matter whether it's a good moment or a bad moment, check again these last words that he shares in this 139. If I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell by the farthest oceans, even there your hand will do what? Will guide me, and your strength will support me. Now, David understands no matter whether he's having a goody-goody moment where he's being a man after God's own heart or whether he's in that moment maybe putting God in a box and ignoring him, God is still there wanting to support him and strengthen him and guide him to have a better life. David would have completely agreed and understood when Pastor Mike and I say that Jesus makes our lives better and he makes us better at life. And David would say, it's because he's with you at all times, in all places, and he's there to guide you and to strengthen you. David would understand that for those who get God out of the box and realize that God is with you at every moment of the day, that your lives get better as you long to bring more and more honor to God in every moment of your day. So to realize this, maybe what we need to do this week is take God with us. That's what I want you to do. Next life work is take God with you. Maybe what you're going to do is you're going to, on your kitchen table, you're going to take a little box like this and you're going to open it up on your kitchen table so that you can picture in your mind God getting out of the box and sitting with you there at your table so that you can share a special time with God. Or maybe on your truck, because you know that sometimes in your truck, you don't always think God is with you. Maybe put a little post-it note there that says, God is here. Or maybe I have something for you to take with you today. It's a simple little wooden cross. The ushers will have it in little buckets as you're leaving today. Grab a cross, put it in your pocket on your keychain or whatever, wherever it will make sense to you, that you can remember throughout the week when you grab a hold of this cross, oh yeah, God is with me in all times, in all places. And the more we get God outside of the box and we realize this, how might it change our lives as we long to bring more and more honor and glory to God? So that's omniscience, and that is omnipresence. What about the third one? The third one is omnipotence. And this is that attribute of God that we like, we get excited about when reading through the stories of the Bible. We see a lot of those miracles that we find in God or in this Bible. Now, for those of you who just heard me say that, the other day I was talking about this and I mentioned that word miracles. And my wife says, make sure you help the people understand what you're saying. Because I have a little bit of that Pennsylvania redneck in me. And my wife laughs when I say certain words. She says, are you saying marigolds, like that yellow flower? I said, no, miracles. And she said, yes, you just said it again. So what I'm saying is those amazing things that God does in the Bible that's miraculous. Is that better, honey? I get it right? Okay. And so that we, you know, there's amazing stories. And there's so many of those powerful stories where we see that almighty power of God throughout scripture. Like, so here's some of these stories here. For instance, walking on water. Mike talked about that one here not too long ago in Matthew 14. The calming of the storm. Wouldn't we love to have that one this week in Luke chapter 8? The walls of Jericho, they blew their trumpets and these huge walls came crashing down. In 2 Kings chapter 6, a cool story. A guy was out there chopping wood, getting some, building something for God, and his axe head falls off and goes into a lake. Well, needless to say, it sinks. Well, the prophet that was nearby just took a stick and put it out on the water, and all of a sudden, God causes that axe head to float to the top. The guy picked it up and kept working for God. It was so cool. The blind seeing in John chapter 9 and the dead raised to life in chapter 11 of John. These powerful stories. And this is just a small amount of stories. So many stories about God and this miraculous things that he does. Now, here's what we need to understand, because for us, these are wow stories, aren't they? But for God, what is it for him? Well, everybody do this with me. Blink with me. That's how easy it was for God to do all of those things. As easy it is for us to blink, for God doing these amazing, miraculous things, it's a piece of cake. God can do them easily. But for God, if we get God out of the box and begin to realize how powerful God is, how miraculous he is, what can it do for us in our walk? Well, another great story that we find this in, God is helping someone get on their journey of faith. And we find it in Genesis chapter 17, where God starts Abraham on his journey. He says, when Abram was 99 years old, again, how old was he? 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am El Shaddai, or God Almighty. So right there, God is already wanting him to understand, I am the Almighty God. And if we get God out of the box, God has the power and the potential to begin to possibly empower us, to move us. You know, like Mike was talking about these last several weeks with Cap Your Comfort, you know, a lot of these things that God calls us to in life are uncomfortable for us. They're almost impossible. But can God possibly, with the same power we see him miraculously using in scripture, can he empower us to do some miraculous things? Well, let's see what he does with Abraham. It continues. God says, serve me faithfully and live a blameless life, and I will make a covenant with you by which I will guarantee to give you countless descendants. Now remember, Abraham, 99 years old, Sarah in her 90s, they did not have children yet. Countless descendants, big family. Ladies, interested? Yeah, 90 years old, but yet now they're going to be starting a family. But God was not just calling them to start a miraculous family. God was calling them to start a miraculous movement of people longing to serve God in the course of their journey. If we get God outside our box and understand how ultimately powerful God is, what can it do for us? If we are longing to take those steps of faith, if we believe that God is all powerful and the Holy Spirit of God is living within us, what can that do for us in our walk? Well, Jesus speaks to that. It's the night before he was going to the cross, and he was sitting there with his disciples and helping them to understand this gift of the Holy Spirit that was about to come their way after he rose from the dead and ascended into heaven. And he says it this way. He says, I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me, so who does that include in this room here? Hopefully most of us. Anyone who believes in me will do the same works that I have done and even greater works, because I'm going to be with the Father. What? Did you hear that? You know, instantly our minds are probably going to that list of miraculous things that God carried out in the midst of scripture. Is Jesus saying that with that power of the Holy Spirit that I have in me, that I'm going to be able to do some of the same works that he was doing, you know, walking on water, feeding the 5,000 with just a few loaves of bread, calming the storm? Really? No. Not the same works. What does he say? Greater works. How in the world? You know, see, this is where we can get in trouble because, again, we like to have God in the box. We like to have our understanding of what greater works would look like. And we get excited because we're thinking, cool, does that mean I get to do all those cool things that Jesus did? Well, let me say, let's do some comparisons here. what would be greater? In the world's eyes, maybe one thing, but in God's eyes, maybe something else. What would be greater? If I had the power to go up to Dalby Lake and all of a sudden start walking across the lake, that would be pretty cool. Don't get me wrong. You know, you guys get a YouTube video of that, man, we're going to get a lot of hits and maybe even funniest home videos. We're going to get a lot of excitement out of that. But what's greater, me being able to walk on water or the powerful presence of the Holy Spirit of God transforming me and changing me that I might become an amazing husband that loves my wife like Christ loved the church? What's greater? Want to ask my wife? Wives, what would be greater for you? What would be greater for my kids? For me to have the power to this storm that's getting ready to come through and that snow starts flying on Tuesday night or into Wednesday, for me to be able to say, get! And the snow just disappears and we get back to 65 degree temperatures. What would be better, that or the powerful presence of the Holy Spirit of God, bringing that fruit of the Spirit that we've learned about in Galatians chapter 5, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control, and all those attributes of the Holy Spirit of God blowing through in me to allow me to become the most amazing dad ever. My kids would think the calming the storm would be cool, but I guarantee you my son would say, give me a shovel, Dad. I'm willing to shovel the snow if the Holy Spirit can work that miraculous thing in you. Which would you rather? Would you rather have Pastor Mike being a pastor who can stand up here, take one of those glazed donuts from out in the lobby and turning it into a big buffet line instantly that we all could come and have an awesome lunch? Or would you rather have a greater thing, the power of the presence of the Holy Spirit of God and Pastor Mike able to teach us and feed us the Word of God in a way that changes and transforms all of us, that our families are affected by it, our community is affected by it because the powerful presence of God going with the same love and compassion and mercy that we find in God that now goes into the community and beyond? Which is greater? You see, sometimes we get God in a box and we get our understanding of what greater works can look like, but what does God think greater works can look like? You see, what Jesus was wanting us to understand, that powerful presence of the Holy Spirit of God that is in our lives, it's because Jesus was one man when he was walking that earth. And so he had the potential to be in one place at one time, sharing that power in that moment. But for all of us, when we get the Holy Spirit of God, because we believe in God, that powerful presence now in each and every one of us now goes into our families as we are transformed and powerfully changed and goes into our community, that we now are a movement of the power of God into this community of Gillette. And we, as the people of God, the body of Christ, can transform this community with the power of God in our lives. Amen? What can that look like? You know, what potentially, you know, as I was thinking this week of how can we could take this power and allow it to be seen in the community? Well, one of the things came to mind. You know, the Women's Resource Center has this awesome thing that they do. When they have some young moms that have chosen to have their babies and as they begin to raise those babies, the Women's Resource Center loves to just bless them and give them a few packs of diapers just to help them get going and get on their feet. Well, what would it look like if the body of Christ, through the people of God here at New Life, what if we all said, I can do that? You know, if I brought a pack of diapers and gave it to the Women's Resource Center, that's going to do nice. That's going to help them out a little bit. But what if the movement of New Life, the power of the people of God, had the same compassion and love for those girls, and we all came together? God tells us if we have the faith of a mustard seed that we can move a mountain. Well, what if we all got together and brought in some diapers, whether it's one pack, two packs, seven packs, and we stick them out there in the lobby? All of a sudden, that one thing that we bring in becomes a mountain of diapers in the lobby. Who's in? Next week is Diaper Sunday. You want to come to church, you bring diapers. And you stick them out there in the lobby, and we're going to see a mountain of diapers so that the next time Sawyer has a young mom that she's wanting to care for, she's not going to give them just one pack of diapers. Instead, she's going to give them a bunch and say, the people of God over at New Life, they just want to bless you. They want you to know that they care so much about you. That is the powerful movement of the people of God looking at a need and wanting just to bless someone in our community. Can you feel them experiencing the powerful presence of God in their lives as they receive those simple diapers? Jump on Amazon before you leave. Get them on order. And let's, one week only, bring them. Let's make a mountain of diapers out there. You see, for all of us, we have God in a box. We just do. You know, this is what we think God's love is like, his power, his knowledge. We have God in a box, and when we have God in a box, we live accordingly to what we believe God is. But what happens if we begin to see God a little bit differently and we allow him to get out of the box? How do our lives change and transform if we allow the presence of the Spirit of God to remind us how much God knows and his wisdom, how much God is with us in every moment of the day, and how powerful God's presence in our life is? If we get God out of the box, it will change our lives. Let's pray. God, I thank you. I thank you, God, that you're longing for us by the power of your Holy Spirit to get our boxes open and to get you out. Because God, you tell us over and over, if we seek you, you will be found. And so, Lord God, here we are longing to seek you, to understand, to know you more, to get you outside our boxes so that we can bring more and more honor and glory to you with how we live into this week that you are placing in front of us. God, we're going to face some tough days. We're going to face some tough moments. But God, with your presence there guiding us and supporting us, with your almighty power and presence in our lives, you have the opportunity, Lord God, to pour that knowledge into our lives so that we might better resemble the God that you are. Thank you, God, for opening up our boxes and helping us to see you in this day. In your name we pray, amen.
Thanks for tuning in to New Life Gillette. For more information, visit us on the web at www.newlifegillette.com. You can also find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. And always remember, Jesus loves you very much, and he died to give you new life.